And right now, we are going to be chatting to Peter Allam, and Peter's standing by. We're talking today about a term, a legal term, which is not a common legal term, and Peter will elaborate, but the term is champerty. And the dictionary, the Oxford Dictionary definition, an agreement in which a person with no previous interest in a lawsuit finances it with a view to sharing the disputed property if the suit succeeds. And that is a part of today's topic. And with that, Peter, very, very good morning and welcome on this Monday morning.
Yes, Wayne, morning to all our listeners out there. Lovely Monday morning. Bit of rain that we need again.
Indeed.
Interesting topic this morning, and you've given the explanation of exactly what it is. So it's something that one does not often come across, and it's linked to what you would call basically a contingency fee with an attorney. So the two of them go side by side. But let's first talk about the, as I say, I don't think we even know how to announce a champerty or champertius or whatever it is, agreement. Indeed, it's something that provides a litigant with funds to prosecute an action, and in return you get a share of the proceeds. Now, it dates back, believe it or not, to Roman and Roman Dutch periods, and the Latin term for it is pacta de quota litis, in other words, assist with litigation. They were looked upon and frowned upon by the courts for many, many years, and especially in South Africa, it was not accepted. It was only until we had the famous PwC case that came to the fore, and then they accepted that it was acceptable and that, you know, somebody could come to the assistance of somebody who did not have funding to assist them to bring a matter before the court, and that in turn would be an agreement whereby the person financing the party would be entitled to a share of the action proceeds if the funded party is successful. In other words, you come along, you have a claim, you don't have money to litigate, you find somebody that's going to come along and put the money up, that person puts the money up, pays the costs that are incurred. And at the end of the day, let's just say that you get a claim for 100,000 rand. He's entitled to take whatever proper agreement is in place, and normally up to 25%. Party to party, when I say people to people, ordinary people, they normally can do a bigger division. They can go to 50-50 or whatever they want to. There's no limit in that regard. Frowned upon because it's actually regarded in a way to gambling.
Okay.
In other words, the person, you know, you sit, and I think if I just make up a story, imagine sitting in the pub and you tell somebody that you have a claim but you can't proceed with it. So you say somebody did this, somebody beat me up and I don't have money to litigate, the attorney wants X amount. The person has a look at it and says, "Oh, you know, you've definitely got a claim for damages. You were innocently hit, and you've had medical expenses, you've had pain and suffering, you've still got a broken finger or whatever, and let's litigate. Let's get money out of the person. The person is a man of means, so let's proceed." And you proceed with the damages claim. And at the end of the day, you pay the person that's funding it, pays all the costs, guarantees that. And when you successfully can then share it. So it's a gamble that you're taking, which is what the South African courts were wary of in the beginning. But one mustn't forget that you do get the Good Samaritan who comes to provide, in good faith, financial assistance to a litigant who just cannot afford it. Litigation is not cheap, it's expensive. And for that reason, when you get a genuine person that's come to assist, there should be no harm in entering into agreement in that regard. One of the conditions of the agreement is that you've got to make sure that it's in writing. It's got to be clear. The attorney proceeding with the matter must know who the funder is. Look, it doesn't have to be in law, this particular thing. You might have a funder that proceeds, somebody might have entered into an agreement to buy something and then found that he didn't have the funds. So similarly, you know, a champerty agreement can be entered into where you come along, give the, I suppose if you have a look on TV, what's that program where the five of them sit and the people come and sell their goods and say, you know, please assist me, I'm looking for so much and I'll give you this percent each share. It's similar to that. You know, you've got people with funds that can then fund it.
Right.
So that's what that agreement basically is. It's a funder that comes in and assists in that regard.
Okay.
Mustn't be confused and felt that it's the exact same as a contingency fee agreement, because a contingency fee agreement, on the other hand, now is an agreement that you enter into with your attorney. So what happens there, they fix fees by an attorney for legal work done for a client. In other words, you can't come along and say, I've got a bill of X amount, plus I'm going to take something. There's a Contingency Fees Act that was introduced in 1997, I think it was. And the contingency fee, I think our maximum allowed is 25% if you're successful with the case. Mm-hmm. So the basis of the agreement between the attorney and the client is clearly a no-win, no-fee basis.
Right.
So you can't come along and carry the you know, everything that goes with it, pay for the disbursements as the attorney, and at the end of the day, if you win, you get your money back and you get your disbursements back. If you don't win, you don't get anything. Now, they're very strict in that regard, because this is something that you see that is abused all the time. In fact, at the very moment, there's an attorney in our courts here in East London applying for bail, and the main claim against him is that he has taken clients' money, and his answer to that is that I had contingency fee agreements with the people. I was entitled to do that. So those agreements, hopefully for him, are all in writing, clearly signed and sealed by everybody, which shows that he can take that percentage because he's carried the costs and the disbursement until such time as they have been successful. So our law is very strict in that regard. An attorney with a contingency fee has to ensure that it is in writing and that they're not fees, they must be acceptable to the law society as well. Must be in writing, signed by both parties, in other words. The attorney might be entitled to fees for services rendered. If it's successful, like I said, that's a condition of the written agreement. The main one that we find these contingency fee agreements in is the road accident fund. That's very, very expensive. You've got to get doctor's report. You've got to get psychiatrist reports in some circumstances. You've got to get expert evidence from accountants on calculations and things like that. So in instances like that, the attorney picks up the tab and pays all of that. And then at the end of the day, entitled to a refund of the disbursements plus a 25% share. You know, so the attorney is on a no-win, no-pay basis. And the portion of the amount that he's entitled to is only payable upon the success of the matter at the end of the day. So the attorney is therefore going to be able to obtain a higher fee than what he normally would as a result of the high award that may come. I mean, people with third-party claims can get up to 2, 3, 4, 20 million or whatever you want to say.
Yes.
And then 25% of that is what you're going to lose. It, in my eyes, it is necessary because, you know, people just cannot afford it other than that. So where you've got an attorney that's an expert in that regard, and he enters into the fee, and he takes his 25%, you've been successful. It's something that you would not have been able to litigate and get. You know, the attorney needs to make sure that he explains it to the client as well. You know, there must be clarity in the agreement. When the contingency fee is in place as well, obviously the attorney's not going to pay for everything. Get to the draw of the court and you change attorneys, and he's paid for everything. So, you know, you can be limited in that, and he's entitled to his fees at the end of the day.
Right.
The agreement in writing must be sent to client, signed by both. He must have proof that he has got a copy of it as an attorney, otherwise you're in trouble. You know, it's strictly watched, and as I say, It's something that is there. It's good. It's the Good Samaritan that comes forward, but it must be bona fides, and you know that's what you've got to take into account. The road accident fund, medical negligent claims, motor vehicle accidents for the not for injuries, but where sometimes you have a claim vehicle versus vehicle, and these days with the set off amounts and that come into the picture, you sometimes need an attorney that can fight it, and litigation can be expensive because the unfortunate thing is that you come up against an insurance company.
Yes.
So a typical example is the poor little individual who's been hit by a big truck. The truck is insured. The insurance company, they always defend it no matter what. They always suggest a proportion of fees to be deducted or of the damages and the like. So you know, I often get people coming in here to say, I've been involved in an accident. A car hit me. My damages are 2,000 rand. The other vehicle has damages of 15,000. So they now tell me that we must split it 70-30. But when you look at the amount of their damages compared to mine,
yeah,
I'm not going to get anything out. I must, in fact, pay into somebody that hit my car whilst it was stationary, or something like that. So, and the insurance companies are bullies. You know, they fight everything. I mean, we see it daily in our courts where people have claims for, in the magistrate's court, the lower court, for small amounts, maybe up 20,000-30,000. But the fees of the attorneys and the advocates and the insurance company are well in excess of that. Instead of like the old days negotiating a proper settlement, you find most of them, you know, just proceed and feel nothing in that regard. So, yes, today's talk is to warn clients against contingency fees, to warn clients against the Camperti agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that if you enter into either one of those two agreements, you understand what you are doing, mm-hmm, and that you are certain.
Right.
You also get people that are greedy. You know, they come along and they, in the beginning, yes, I'm so appreciative. You're going to help me. I'm going to be able to proceed with my claim. I'm going to be able to proceed and buy a business. So I really, you know, appreciate what you do. Then the minute they get up and on their feet and their claims come through, oh, no, we didn't agree that and all the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
So the message from us at Allums today is make sure either of those agreements are properly recorded in writing, signed by both parties, and that you have a copy of it. Make
nice.
Sure it's properly witnessed as well. And that you have a witness available to confirm what you've entered.
What you've actually entered. And, you know, Peter, just listening to all of that and when we'd, you know, when I'd kind of done my little bit of research on the topic and the, you know, and what the terms actually meant, so the first thing, and you actually mentioned it in your chat, the first thing that came to mind was Road Accident Fund, where I think there you've probably got the biggest amount or percentage of cases where people who really can't afford legal advice are actually going into agreements like this, knowing that they've possibly got a claim of, let's say, 1 million rand from the Road Accident Fund, but they don't have the means or the actual knowledge to actually go through that process. So they sign up an attorney, a legal firm, and I mean, as in any industry, you get legal firms and you get legal firms. And I'm sure there's a lot of abuse taking place in that particular scenario where the legal people have obviously said, okay, they've obviously seen this person has got a case, and they then know that, you know, they it's a safe bet for them. And it ends up costing the person maybe more than what it should, because they weren't really aware of what their rights are.
Absolutely, Wayne. You're so right. I mean, you know, just in our local dispatch, our local paper, you know, almost every month there's an attorney that's been, shall I say, branded as a thief because they've had these contingency fee agreements and something's gone wrong with them. The attorney's made the mistake of not reporting them properly, not making sure they're in writing. And our poor profession suffers. You know, we're made to look like we're there to steal money,
yes,
from people. Yes, it does happen. There are some attorneys that have made substantial amounts that apparently are not warranted. You know, I'm not part of the Law Society to comment on that, but there are always two sides to the story. I mean, the story that the gent at the moment that's battling to get bail, you know, makes sense from a court point of view, from a police point of view, where they're refusing bail. But then on the other hand, as an attorney, I also see his side of the story. You know, he maintains that what he's done are all in terms of contingency fee agreements. Whether or not the amounts are correct, whether or not he has paid out fairly, is yet to be seen.
Right.
But from a from a contingency point of view, or from a Champerty agreement point of view, it is possible for those funds to have been earned by him, or you know, or whatever you want to call it. It's definitely earned by him, in the sense that he's taken the risk, he's bore the risk, and he's been successful for the person. So there should not be a problem with that. That, you know, that's unnecessary.
Well,
That's basically where we are there, and that's the chat today, which is a very different and interesting chat.
Really, definitely interesting. And I would say our word for the week is Champerty. And
I may mention that it was in the exam for our young attorney's admission. And honestly, I think that 90% of the attorneys around would not recall or remember what it was. I only got an inkling of what it was when I was asked, and I said, I know that. I know that from when I studied.
Yes.
I mean, I've never done a Champerty agreement other than that.
Yeah.
Contingency fees are common, but a Champerty agreement where you've got an outside funder is not a common thing at all. In fact, very, very few and far between attorneys will have to do agreements like that.
Yes, yes. Wow. Well, really interesting. And, you know, never without surprises, our Legal Eagle chat, always something to think about and very interesting. And Peter, if somebody wants to get hold of Alam's attorneys, I'm doubting it will be for a Champerty agreement, but any other legal issues, how do they get in touch?
Yeah, they can find us on Facebook. Just add an S to our surname, A-L-L-A-M for Mary, S for Sugar. Like us and you'll see exactly where we are. You'll find our chats reported there weekly. Alternatively, we're situated at 6 Sansom Road, Vincent, East London, 043-7211-018. I repeat, 043-7211-018. Yes, so for the week, if you have a claim and you can't afford it or whatever, give an attorney a call. You may never know. You might be able to find somebody that will enter into a Champerty agreement with you, or you might find an attorney that's happy to do it on a contingency basis.
Right. Well, there we go. Always keeping legal matters interesting. Peter, thank you very, very much. Have a great week and looking forward to chatting again next week.
Thank you, Wayne.
Cheers. Bye. Thanks. There we go. Peter Alam with today's Legal Eagle chat. And that's, of course, brought to you with the compliments of Alam's attorneys.